Realities and New Realities Radio. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I bring to the airwaves people who are really increasing the awareness on the planet of who we are as we tap into more of our divine essence. This program has a television counterpart that you can see at newrealities.tv. And you can also download past programs from bbsradio.com or check out my new website, which is newrealities.com. Tonight's guest is someone who's devoted his life to transformation and bringing through substances and energies that are expanding our consciousness. His name is Barry Carter, my guest, and Barry's going to be talking to us about a really amazing substance called Ormus. Barry, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Alan. Oh,
hi. Before we get into the specific research, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and sort of a history, as you know it, of alchemy, in a sense, and because we're going to be talking about alchemy and the new alchemical understanding of what Ormus and Orme is about. So first start with yourself.
Well, I started out as a child with great interest in science fiction, and one day I read the book called Dune, and they talked about the spice, a substance that you could consume and it would increase your psychic abilities and that sort of thing. And I was really interested in being involved with something like that. This was back in the 60s.
That was Dune, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And I have always been interested in mystical stuff, but in 1989, a friend of mine had a mining accident where he got his hands in some mine waste water that had been treated with ozone that had very unusual properties. The stuff, if he dried it out in the sunlight, it would disappear in a flash of light. If you dried it out in the dark, it would float away from your hand and you couldn't catch it.
Did you see this stuff?
I did see this stuff, yes.
Wow.
My friend's name was Jim, and he called this stuff that flew away, he called it fly ash because it would fly away from his hand. And I was very intrigued by it, but he kind of didn't want to do anything with it because he also got lead and mercury poisoning at the same time, or lead and arsenic poisoning. And so he basically was sleeping a lot and sort of hard to get in touch with and hard to talk to, and so we kind of dropped it. But in 1995, I heard about a guy named David Hudson.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, who apparently had discovered something that sounded a whole lot like my friend Jim's fly ash, the stuff that would float away from his hand.
Wait, tell me, how did Jim get this fly ash substance?
He was using ozone to clean up mine waste water.
Uh-huh.
And the ozone apparently would convert some of the metallics and energize some of the other stuff in the water, the Ormus form of these elements, and they would transmute into something that was very energetic.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now,
I see.
David Hudson said that these substances were the alchemical materials. The alchemists talked about changing lead to gold, but mostly they were interested in the philosophical, the spiritual values of these materials.
Well, it was threefold, wasn't it? It was changing the lead into gold, or the body into spirit. I mean, they went hand in hand, as I understand alchemy. If you could change your state of consciousness that affected the material world, your own inner state would equally be affected.
There were alchemists who were predominantly interested in changing lead to gold.
Right.
Many of them probably the more successful of them were more interested in the spiritual process that was involved in that transformation.
I get it. Okay, I'm with you. Okay. Yes. Yes. All right, good. So when David Hudson, what did he actually then discover?
Well, he discovered that there were a number of elements, not just gold, but gold, silver, rhodium, iridium, platinum, copper, several different elements that are familiar to modern science and most people, that have another state of matter. You hear of solids, liquids, and gases. Well, these materials also have something we call the Ormus state. And in the Ormus state, they behave and have properties that are different from their metallic counterparts.
Huh.
Ormus gold can be an oil or a gas at room temperature or a liquid or a white powder. Same with all of the other Ormus elements. They all have this other state of matter where they're not metals. And David Hudson theorized that they might be monatomic, single atom.
As opposed to what most of nature is as an atom bond.
Yeah, bonds.
Right.
And the bonded, you have to have a bunch of atomic bonds in order to have a metal. You have to have a large cluster of atoms all bonded together. But that isn't as significant as the properties of these materials in this Ormus form. In this Ormus form, they seem to be essential nutrients for the body. They appear in a lot of the foods that are the most healthful and in relative abundance in the foods that are, you know, good for various healing properties and so on.
Do you think our body's actually producing these elements and burning them up just as fast in order to kind of keep our life force moving?
No, I think we use them. Some of them go through the body or excreted with urine.
Uh-huh.
Some of them stay in the body, but most of these elements, because we don't know about them, we've depleted them in our soil. We haven't replaced them in the soil. We haven't replaced them in our foods. We do things to food that destroys them, like microwaving food or cooking food on electric stoves, things like that, can tend to destroy these elements or even convert them to metal. And as metals, they're toxic, but as Ormus, they're very beneficial.
Huh. Okay, so David Hudson discovered this, and then what?
Put a lot of information out. He gave lectures around the United States and a little bit in Canada, and basically told people what they were and all about them. But he said the method that we have to make them is proprietary. It's a secret, and we're going to make them for you. You just join our organization, and we'll make them for you and repay your investment by giving you the materials.
Actually, I remember that whole thing. I heard of him in the 80s when he was wanting people to invest, and people I know spent a lot of money investing in it. Well, supposedly it was someone actually taking this Ormus, this initial experimental Ormus stuff, and having some time travel situation, something really outrageous, wasn't there?
Well, one gentleman, I know this gentleman, he's often referred to as the original Orm consumer, Ormus consumer, and he took some while fasting, and David Hudson said he had sex with angels, but I think it's a little bit more along the lines that he had a kundalini awakening, a kundalini energy awakening. And several other people taking other Ormus products that they've made or that others have made have experienced that sort of Kundalini awakening without, you know, without going through the fast or any of the other stuff. So it's really hard to nail down exactly what the guaranteed effects are. Everybody seems to have different effects.
So David Hudson got all these investors, and you can tell what happened, though, what happened with all that.
Well, he built his plant when his plant was done, and he was about to go into production. One of his nitric acid tanks, he had a 10,000-gallon tank full of acid. It sprang a leak, and the leak was contained in a little berm that he had around it, but the gas was coming off and formed a cloud of gas, and the neighbors reported it, and the EPA and the Arizona Department of Environment all came in and said, hey, we're shutting you down. We're going to fine you. This is not acceptable in an area that's zoned residential / agricultural. And basically he got shut down there and fined and last I heard, he's sort of out of the business. He's not interested in working with us anymore.
Okay. So, but his claims were pretty out there. He said this was the ascension chemical. This would help you transmute everything you ever wanted to. I mean, this would make you like the gods, is what I remember him saying back in the 80s, right?
Right. I don't know of anybody that is caused to ascend. It's easier to ascend by drinking 6 gallons of water in an hour.
It is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll kill you for sure.
Well, I don't know about killing you, but what about ascending the body, changing the body into light?
Well, as soon as you leave the body, you go into light. So,
no, but some people say ascension is actually bringing the body with you into light, lifting the frequency.
Some people say that.
Okay. But I thought that was the point of taking the Ormus stuff to begin with, was to raise the frequency of the body until it was more light.
Well, here's what we think is going on with this.
Okay.
We think the Ormus is a communicator. We think it facilitates communication between all the cells of the body. Some scientists say that it's obvious that the body has an instantaneous communication system. They call it quantum coherence.
Uh-huh.
That this instantaneous communication system, it'd be like having a cell phone in every cell, with the nerves just being sort of the backup hardwired phones that we use to communicate when the communication doesn't have to be instantaneous. And this instantaneous communication system isn't just between the cells of your body. It's between the cells of your body and everybody else's body as well. And your body and all of spirit as well. Now imagine that you've got an instantaneous communication system that is better. If you put your ear to the iron rail, you'll hear the train coming before you hear it through the air. That's because the iron rail is denser than the air. The train track is denser than the air. And in the same way, when you make the Ormus into a denser communication medium, we believe that that this Ormus in the body makes communication within the body and between the body and spirit better. It improves the communication. The reason you hear it through the iron rail is because it's denser than the air.
Uh-huh.
And so you get feedback more quickly. Well, it's the same thing with the Ormus. But the Ormus doesn't automatically mean that you're only going to tune into wonderful stuff. You
right.
You still have the choice to tune into yucky stuff.
Okay.
You still have the choice to think about awful things. It's like you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you shout, "I love you." And a minute later, somebody says, "I love you." And you think somebody out there loves you. Or you shout, "I hate you." A minute later, somebody says, "I hate you," and you get scared.
Right.
That time delay makes it so that we can legitimately say that we didn't do that. I didn't make that horrible sound. I didn't make that wonderful sound. But when the time, when it overlaps, let's say you say, "I love you, I love you. I hate you, I hate you." So there's overlap. And you hear it just as soon as you say it. Then you realize, oh, well, I said that. And the advantage of this is that it gives you the ability to, number one, realize that what you think manifests in the world.
Well, some of us know that already, but this is a sort of an acceleration in that awareness.
It's an accelerated feedback. You get a quicker feedback, and that quicker feedback gives you enough information that it makes it easier, even if you, you know, if you tune into the yucky music station and you hear the yucky music instantly, you say, "Oh, well, I don't want to tune in there." Instead, you change the channel. Maybe you go up to the angry music station instead. It feels a little better.
Right. So people taking the Ormus, though, have more control of the reality around them, is I think what you're saying.
No, they don't necessarily have more control. They just have faster feedback.
And faster feedback...
leads, I think, to more control.
But how does that actually work? What do these chemicals actually do on a cellular level to facilitate, I guess, in a sense, more spiritual connections? Or what is that? What's the physiological mechanism involved?
Well, the body is mostly composed of water. In fact, plants as well are mostly composed of water. We're all totally dependent on water. And we think one theory is that the Ormus elements, like the Ormus gold or the Ormus iridium, hangs out inside of the water molecule and acts like a little resonator in there and causes the water molecule to change shape in response to color and light and sound and even our thoughts.
Well, has this been tested by people like Emoto who've actually looked at water molecules or the crystallization of water molecules?
Emoto is a great example of this principle.
Uh-huh.
Basically, he's putting thought into the water. And those thoughts apparently, or pretty nearly obviously, have an influence on the shape of the water molecule. Now, there's no clear mechanism, though, that's outlined by Emoto or any other scientist about how this works.
Right.
We think it's kind of like having a little... have you ever seen a plate covered with sand that you vibrate the plate, or you put a...
Yes, the cymatics demonstrate this, yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
It vibrates, and when that plate vibrates, it forms different patterns depending on the frequency of the sound coming into the plate.
Yes.
So in this similar way, we think the Ormus hanging out inside the water molecule vibrates at a different frequency, and when it changes frequency, the molecule, the placement of all of the components of the water molecule change places.
All the components of the water molecule.
Yeah.
All the what do you mean by the components? They're only
water,
hydrogen.
H2O. But most water molecules have 22 or 24 or a whole bunch of H2Os.
Right, all hooked together to form a molecule, yes.
Right. And they're like kind of like a little geodesic dome, you know?
Right.
You know, a full size all the way around.
Yeah, crystallized patterns, yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens then with the ormus? That crystallization takes on greater complexity, would you say?
Well, it takes on, it changes its shape. Well, if you live in New York, you know about taxis.
Right.
If the dispatcher calls all of the taxis in New York City and says, change lanes, they could all change lanes at once.
Right.
Basically, this is what we think the ormus does, is it causes all of the water molecules in the body to change lanes all at the same time.
And then
go
what
from a tighter geodesic dome to a looser geodesic dome,
so
depending
what
on what it's going to do.
And then what effect does that have on the body, then, if let's say they all shifted at once like that?
Well, we know that there is communication, instantaneous communication. And this is the little resonator in there that we think allows that instantaneous communication to happen.
And then what's the actual, how does someone feel when that happens, that shift? What's the effect of that?
Some people don't notice it. Some people do. Some people say it's like having the whirlies. It's like the world. It's not like the world's spinning around you. It's like the world is spinning within you. And when that happens, the few people that have been hooked up to electroencephalogram, a brainwave monitor, they've noticed, they've actually measured this, that when you're hooked up to an EEG, electroencephalogram, your left brain and right brain become coherent. They synchronize.
Uh-huh.
Within 2 minutes of taking the ormus.
Is that happens with everyone, you think?
Apparently it does. Everybody that's been tested that I know of.
I see.
And some people will notice it and some people won't. Some people are already closer to being synchronized already.
I see. So you come into a harmony with yourself.
Right. And you drop into an alpha state. You know what an alpha state is.
Yeah, you can live in an alpha state, you're saying.
It's a meditative state. Now,
and you
can...
Yeah. No, go ahead.
There's a deeper meditative state called theta/delta, much lower frequency, that these gurus meditating in a cave in India spend 30 years learning to get into that state and yet have their eyes open and be able to be functional.
So you think ormus can help us get into that state as well?
Well, that happens within 10 minutes. So after you take ormus, within 10 minutes, you go into that state, and your front brain and your rear brain synchronize. So there's some pretty good evidence that we're literally getting into a more coherent, more unified communication with ourselves, with the heart, with the brain, with the front brain and rear brain and left brain and right brain, and all of the cells in the body, because they've got these resonators in the water inside the cells that are communicating, and the cells, which are mostly made of water, respond to this communication.
And so people who take the ormus every day then start to have a lasting effect in that state of being.
Indeed, yes.
Uh-huh. So your job or your work is to spread this knowledge, but also the amazing thing is to teach people how to make this Ormus material for themselves.
Exactly. And there's some very, very easy ways to make it, and I teach people how to make it.
But is there any other research? Well, can you tell us some of the physical effects that you've seen from people taking this Ormus? Because you've had documented cases.
Many people have had benefits, health benefits, but more than that, those could be placebo effect.
Okay.
And I'm going to describe the placebo effect, what the placebo effect did for a cat.
Okay. Well, is it a placebo effect if they don't have the psychology to support that? I mean, like
a cat.
I like to call
it the placebo effect, just to give it some legitimacy here.
Okay.
This cat that lost its tail. It was about a 6 or 8 week old kitten, and he lost his tail in a windstorm, and his tail was sort of cut off, but was still held together by a thin thread of skin. And Dana, the woman that owns this cat, she lives in North Carolina, she was putting hand cream on one day, some Ormus hand cream. It's called Cleopatra's Milk. It's made by Priestess Alchemy. And she was putting some of this hand cream on, and the cat came over and started licking her hand. And so she put more hand cream on, and the cat licked the hand cream off. And the cat just kept licking and licking and just really liked this hand cream. And so she, every day, it gives the cat as much hand cream as it wanted, you know, to eat. I mean, this is awful tasting hand cream, let me tell you. But the cat loved it. Well, within about 3 months, the cat's tail had grown 4 inches of new tail.
Hmm.
At this time, he's got a complete new tail.
And he's still eating Ormus.
He doesn't eat it very often anymore, but apparently doesn't need any more tail either.
But that's just one. I mean, what about people or the effects on, you know, people who need to regenerate things in their bodies? Has it had any effect like that?
It's hard to say for sure. We think so. We think we've heard of some regeneration effects, but we're not talking about medicine here. We're talking about spiritual healing. We're talking about when the body goes into spiritual coherence, where everything is connected, that all kinds of healing effects can occur.
Mm. So how long have you been taking this substance?
Oh, I've been taking it about 10 years.
10 years. What have you noticed for yourself?
My back doesn't hurt anymore.
I used to have bad
back problems a lot. I'd be so crippled I'd have to crawl out of bed and crawl to the bathroom. You know, I couldn't even stand up sometimes. Only once or twice a year that it happened. I don't seem to ever get colds anymore. I don't sunburn easily anymore. And just a lot of different things, little things. And I feel better than I always than I ever felt before. My hair color is coming back a bit.
You did talk about people whose beard have gone from white back to black.
Yeah. Who's a friend who went from basically all completely gray beard to completely dark beard. There were a few gray hairs in there, but it was almost completely.
In the process of making the Ormus or teaching people, what are we actually extracting? Is it the erodium and the iridium that somehow are superconductive elements that are extracted from these heavy salt waters. Is that part of it?
Yeah, if you're extracting it from seawater, it's mostly...
If you're extracting ormus...
Go ahead.
We're saying ormus. What are we extracting?
We're extracting ormus from seawater.
And ormus is what? These elements? These ormus elements?
It's metal elements in a non-metal form. And in this other form, they're magical and apparently essential minerals for the body.
I see. Okay.
And when you extract them from seawater, you get mostly rhodium, iridium, and gold.
Rhodium, iridium, and gold.
Yes.
Okay.
If you extract it from the air, you get mostly silver and copper, or at least if you're in Nevada, that's what you get. That's the only place we know of that somebody's extracted it from the air and converted it.
How would you extract silver and copper from the air?
You spin it in a magnetic trap. These magical materials, remember I said that sometimes they would levitate on your hand? You put your hand next to it, it'd fly away from your hand.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally levitating on the magnetic field of your hand. Well, the ormus is in the air. We think it's levitated out of the ground, levitated out of the water, and it's in the air just basically to get away from the Earth's magnetic field. And you can also run it through a magnetic trap where you spin it in a magnetic field, and it will retreat from that magnetic field, and you put a tube so that you can catch it as it retreats, and then bubble that through water, and you'll increase the amount of ormus in the water. Then one gentleman has actually transmuted or changed that ormus from trap water, from trapped out of the air, into metal, and he got 73% silver, and the rest, most of the rest was copper and a very little gold.
So he's basically extracting silver from the air?
Yeah.
Was it a particular place that has more silver in the air than other places?
We don't know. We've only tried it in one place.
And that was Las Vegas, you said?
Las Vegas.
Yeah. Why don't you try it every place and make a comparison?
Well, when we figure out how to do this, how he did it, I have no idea other than how he trapped it. How he converted it to metal. I don't know how he converted it to metal.
Mm.
At some point, we may do that.
Who is this? A person you know? You're in touch with?
Yeah, this is my friend named Jim. This is the guy that got this stuff in his hands and the stuff had the stuff that jumped away from a magnetic field and jumped away from his hands. I have a whole segment in my workshop talking about Jim and his incredible discovery.
Well, talk a little bit about what we will learn in the workshop and what the weekend looks like.
Well, in the workshop, I will be teaching people how to make this stuff from seawater or sea salt dissolved in water. I'll also, Sunday, be teaching people how to build a magnetic trap that you can trap this stuff out of water or even trap it out of the air.
Uh-huh.
And I'll also be telling a longer version of the story of how I discovered this stuff.
Mm.
My friend Jim and I were working together building ozone generators and experimenting with that. And I'll be telling about his experiences about the puddle of ormus water that moved across the floor toward the nearest person and just all kinds of amazing things that happen.
Huh.
And how it teleports and how it levitates and how it does all of the magical stuff that we hear about in ancient references.
You were here in New York about 3 years ago. What have you learned or really discovered and become excited about in the last 3 years since you've last presented here?
Well, I've learned one of the things that a lot of people right now in the Ormus community are experimenting with is they're experimenting with ways to energize the Ormus that's already in water, or perhaps to put information into it. We're not sure whether it's just information or just energy or both. And this energized Ormus seems to be more effective. You can take ordinary water and, oh, for example, put it in a container filled with magnetite, and after a few days, the water will have different properties and be more energetic and more hydrating than ordinary water. And we've seen this. There's several people that are selling products based on this particular principle. But I'll tell people about how to do that in my workshop as well.
I just met, I was just at the Raw Food Festival in Sedona. There's a guy named, I think Chief Medicine Wolf, you know his work? He puts out an Ormus product as well that's very powerful, that he says really is part of the, in what I was saying in the beginning of the show, increasing the vibration of who we are as spiritual beings. You know, it really helps people do that. And it seems like there's a lot of Ormus product on the market, or what is also called the white powder of gold, right?
That's one very small portion of the Ormus field.
Oh, the white powder of gold. So how many different... Well, what's your count of the Ormus products? And I guess they all seem to have different functions.
There's at least 30 Ormus producers out there that I'm aware of, probably more, plus a lot of people make their own. And there are... David Hudson spoke of 12 different elements that have an Ormus form. And since he left the field, other people have found 12 more, at least 12 more, that have these Ormus properties, different elements that have an Ormus form. And we think that each one of these elements probably is some kind of an essential mineral for the body. And we probably get them in our food, but in diminished amounts because we do so many things to our soil and to our food that tends to destroy them or kick them out, so to speak.
But what foods would they be in naturally? What's the most powerful food?
Foods that are grown on volcanic soil is usually a very good indicator.
What kind of foods are those? I mean, like what grows on volcanic soil?
Things like aloe, when it's grown on volcanic soil.
Oh, I see.
Seems to have quite a bit of Ormus in it.
Poppy, sir?
Coffee,
Yeah.
Chocolate seems to have a good amount of Ormus in it, as long as it isn't processed. And this is a good reason for raw food, because many of the cooking processes that we use now basically drive the Ormus out or change.
Actually, I just saw David Wolf at the Raw Food Conference. He said a lot of nice things about you, Barry.
Well, I have a lot of nice things to say about him.
But he was mentioning Ormus and your work and the benefits of raw food in building up these natural Ormus elements in the body.
Absolutely.
But with the stuff you're showing people how to do, we'll be able to extract Ormus, take it, and then actually ingest that as a supplement.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. It's very... Some of these processes are just totally easy. They're really so easy.
And there is a little bit of extra hardware that someone needs sometimes to do it right, isn't there?
Well, you need some of the simpler methods. You need a bottle. You need salt, and you need some grapeseed oil. That's one of the simpler methods.
Oh, that's all you need?
That's all you need. You fill a bottle half full of grapeseed, of Celtic sea salt from a natural food store. And
yeah.
Fill the rest up with grapeseed oil and shake it up good, and then you can put that oil on your skin, and it'll have beneficial effects there, and you can eat it on your salad as well.
Wait, so the grapeseed helps extract the natural aromas from the Celtic sea salt?
Uh-huh.
Is that what's happening in that formula?
Yes, and the oil will not have any salty taste at all.
Uh-huh. But it will increase the actual amount of... now, what form is that ormus? Is that more iridium or rhodium?
We don't know for sure. It's probably rhodium, iridium, and gold, which is the predominant ormus in sea water, but we're not sure.
So no one's done any tests on the actual... Or is it really impossible to test this because it does sort of disappear, or...
Well, when it's tested using spectroscopic testing methods, like mass spectroscopy or neutron activation spectroscopy or X-ray spectroscopy, it doesn't show up as what it is. It may appear to be something like iron, silica, or aluminum, but it won't show up as the precious metal elements.
So what you're saying is we really don't have the sophisticated equipment needed to measure these elements. It's sort of as if these substances are one paradigm ahead of our scientific inventions.
I would say so, yes.
So it's actually pushing us to greater clarity and understanding of elemental chemistry.
Well, it is, and it's also pushing us toward greater understanding of the basis of physics and the nature of the universe in itself.
In what way?
If we can demonstrate that there is an instantaneous communication system, physicists have demonstrated that photons can be paired up and separated and sent their separate ways, and you do something to one of them, and the other one instantly responds. That's instantaneous communication at a vast distance.
Right, I know that, yes.
But they haven't figured out how this could happen at biological scale, how it could happen in the real world. They know it happens, but they can't figure out... Now, if we can demonstrate that big stuff that big enough you can see it and hold it in your hand can do this, then basically what we're doing is we're proving that there is a universal instantaneous communication system. Now, the Roman Church had a name for that. They called it omnipresence.
Uh-huh.
God is omnipresent. God is omniscient, knows everything. Omnipresent. So we can demonstrate, basically, that there is a universal, omnipresent communication system out there. And I think that's what the Ormus will do.
And that it is. And what needs to happen in order to prove this, do you feel? Does it need to go more mainstream?
We need research money and research facilities and all kinds of things like that, for sure. One company in Hungary has actually claims that they've actually demonstrated a coherent communication between two different bottles of Ormus, where they vibrated one and the other one vibrated in response.
Really? Because were they made from the same batch, or
they were made from the same batch? They just poured them into two containers. One of them, when it was stimulated, the other one responded instantaneously.
Huh.
No phase change, no time delay between them.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Seems like we could demonstrate that if we were making Ormus and separated that.
yes, we should be able to demonstrate that. And in fact, I think that's what's being demonstrated when you take it and your brain hemispheres go into synchronization.
So this is a way of understanding non-local chemistry, in a sense, non-local quantum chemistry.
Yes.
You're going to be in New York and you're going to be in Toronto. Do you want to give the dates of the...
Yes, I do, but first I want to look them up here real quick.
Okay. But I want to do say that Barry Carter, who I've been talking to, will be in New York City on October 26th, 27th, and 28th. There's an introductory lecture on Friday, October 26th, and that'll be at 243 West 30th Street in Manhattan on the 11th floor. If you have any questions, you can call me at 212-473-6388 or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And you're going to be in Toronto the weekend before that?
No, the weekend after, November 2nd through 4th.
Oh, I see. And is there a contact you have in?
Yes. Ormus World, ORMUSWORLD, at hotmail.com.
Okay. And then there's a website that you have, right?
Yes. My website is subtleenergies.com. SUBTLEENERGIES.com.
And there's lots of articles and more information about Ormus on Barry's website. I mean, lots of stuff. I mean, you've been researching this stuff for what, 20 years, 15 years?
Well, since about 1989.
Since 1989, that's like 18 years, huh?
18 years, yeah.
Wow, and it's been an exciting journey, huh?
Well, this is absolutely the best fun I've ever had.
I mean, you've really gone for it.
This is like it's the greatest scientific discovery in human history.
Why? Why do you say that?
Proving the existence of God to science.
Where did you get God from? I mean, what is God?
If there's a universal communication system that's running all the time, that would pretty well be something you could define as God. Communication. We're all in communication constantly. Everybody and everything.
Well, we are. It seems like absolutely we are, but the ingestion of Ormus helps us realize that.
Helps us improve it and is going to help us prove this to science.
Uh-huh. Well, if that's true, then I could see why you would be, very excited by it.
Okay.
I mean, plus
we've seen it teleport, and we've seen it levitate, and we've seen it cause blood to levitate. I have a video of levitating blood. We've seen it create its own energy, free energy from the ether. This is everything that I ever read about, every imagined thing that any science fiction story ever told me when I was a kid. The Ormus does it.
Huh. Well, I'm surprised mainstream science isn't really going into looking in this and investigating this. Like,
well, I think it was Max Planck that said something to the effect, he didn't say this exactly, but he said, science progresses one funeral at a time.
Right. And it's true. Science is stuck in the past and... You know, I just met someone who didn't need food to live on, and people just refuse to believe. There's so much that people refuse to believe that I know is true and possible. The existence of UFOs, the existence of interdimensional beings. I'm doing a conference on orbs coming up, and the appearance on digital cameras of little light beings seem to
be. Yes.
So there's so much that, as we kind of come into a new paradigm, a new understanding, a new reality, as I call the show, we're discovering a whole new world that wasn't even suspected to exist before, and I think Ormus obviously is part of that.
Well, as they say about paradigms, you know, shift happens.
Thank you. Thanks, Barry, for being a guest.
My pleasure.
All right, I'm going to go out with a little song about the future, Masters of Light by Duke Williams and the Extremes. This is Alan Steinfeld. I'm talking to Barry Carter, who is, I would guess you are one of the innovators of the Ormus Revolution.
You bet.
And if people want to get in touch with you, just go to your website.
Yes, indeed. Also, you can email me at Sumro, S-U-M-R-O, which is Ormus spelled backwards, Sumro at ZZ.com, ZZ.com.
Okay, thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Alan.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Look at my new website, which lists all the spiritual events in New York at newrealities.com. Thank you for listening, and listen next week, same time and same place. Thank you.